Welcome. I'm Jenny Ray, an independent consultant with the Military Families Learning Network Family Transitions team. Our team provides education, resources, and networking opportunities for military family service professionals as they help military families build resilience and navigate life cycle transitions. We invite you to engage with us and your colleagues in conversations on military life cycle issues. In this Let's Talk Transitions podcast, I'll be chatting with Dr. Shelley McDurbin Wadsworth, a professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies at Purdue University and the director of the Center for Families and the Military Family Research Institute. In this episode, our conversation centers on the recent launch of Purdue University's College of Health and Human Sciences, Families Tackling Tough Times Together, a program to support families as they deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. Welcome, Shelley McDurbin Wadsworth. It's a pleasure having you here. Can you please share with the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'm a faculty member in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies at Purdue University. I've been here for quite a long time. I also, here at Purdue, direct the Center for Families, and I help to co-found and now direct the Military Family Research Institute.
That's great. You are doing such great work. I'm excited to learn more about what else kind of projects that you're working on. I would like to learn a little bit more, have you share with our listeners a little bit about what the current research you are doing.
We maintain a pretty lively program of research. We recently completed data collection on a project called Family Journeys that followed National Guard families for 2 years as they went through a deployment. And we've been writing up those data and publishing about those data. We're working on getting into the field with a study of adolescents who were exposed early in life to parental wartime deployment, but whose parents now may still be in the military or who have left. And we call that Operation Me. That name came from a military adolescent, where Me stands for military experience. So hopefully we'll be in the field with that later this year. We also are doing a project, although not for research primarily, but aimed at really trying to help families during the pandemic. And we call that project Families Tackling Tough Times Together.
Great. Can you share a little bit more about what that project is and how you were called to create it?
I was having flashbacks a little bit, honestly, when it became clear what the scope of the pandemic was likely to be in our country. And I remembered when I first started doing engagement work with military families in 2007, that was in the height of the surge during the OIF-OEF conflict. And it really felt like the military family community was on fire. A big sense of urgency, sudden deployments, extension, stop move, stop loss, all kinds of really challenging things. And information flying around in all directions and families having trouble finding what would be helpful at the moment that they needed it. And at the beginning of the pandemic, as it started to really grow in this country, I felt like that was the same in civilian communities, information flying everywhere, nobody knowing what to do. And so families under a lot of stress. The other thing I realized, though, was that this was a huge opportunity for families, even though it didn't feel like it. But so often when families are trying to work on parenting or get closer to their kids or do fun things together, it's because they don't have time. Sure. Their jobs, take them out of the house, or the kids are going in 52 directions. The family can never have a meal together. And here we have a situation not only where families are spending tremendous amounts of time together, but they're under stress. And that means kids want to hear from their parents and parents desperately want to help their kids. And so what better moment to try to help families build on their strengths, because they're having to use them anyway, but grow their resilience skills while they do it. The final thing that I really thought about was that military families have a lot of expertise in situations like this. They've been through challenging situations. They know how it feels to be suddenly told, hey, your life's going to be turned upside down tomorrow. They know how to deal with that. And today, the challenges that they're facing are distinct in some ways, but they overlap a lot with what civilian families are experiencing. So this seemed to me to be a wonderful opportunity to shrink the military-civilian divide and put military families in the position of teaching others sometimes. So often we think about military families as people who need things. We don't think enough about the things that they can offer. And here's a situation where military families really can especially shine. And so this new initiative was created to engage both military and civilian families together and maybe get some conversation going between each group.
That's fantastic. I love this idea of joining forces and building a community of people that can just share their expertise and learn from one another. So what teams, programs, organizations kind of made all this possible?
Well, it's a really great question because, of course, when I was having all these thoughts, it was actually spring break at Purdue. But most people at Purdue spent all of spring break preparing for Purdue to become an online university. Mm-hmm. In about 10 days, we had to go online like everybody else. And so everybody was really busy. But at the same time, I was sure that other people were feeling the same as me in the sense that I really wanted to do something to help others. Purdue is a land-grant university. It just seems like in a time of crisis in our nation, we ought to be trying to do things to help. Yeah. And so I got permission from the people that I report to, and then I reached out to all of the faculty in my college first to ask them if anybody had found themselves with any spare time because, for example, they couldn't do their research. Collecting data the way that they normally do, did that free up any time for them? And would they like to invest that in trying to help other families? Wow. And about 70 people took me up on it in about 24 hours.
That's fantastic.
And then I reached out to external partners across the country. We reached out to the Project Focus people at UCLA, Abby Gewirtz and ADAPT at University of Minnesota, the Military Reach Group at Auburn, Mallory and Katie, Dan Perkins at Penn State, the Military Family Clearinghouse, organizations, NMFA, MSEC, Blue Star Families, as well as organizations in the civilian community, both in the U.S. and abroad. And everybody was so willing to help and so willing to let us use their materials and cite them. And so we have probably 100 people working on this as kind of a crowdsourced pop-up program. Some people have only an hour a week, but a scientist in an hour can do some very useful things. That's and cool. We're happy to take them up on it. So we roll along.
Oh, that's so exciting. I'm still in shock of all these people that were just all on board, all hands in, and what did you say, 24 hours. So that's
And many of them are at home with young kids themselves.
Yeah.
And so what you see people in the group posting sometimes are pictures from the scientists who are helping to build this of their own kids using the materials that they helped to develop. So it's helping them at home as well as hopefully helping other folks around the world.
That's really cool. So maybe using their own children as little test lab rats,
yes.
Which is really cool. That's awesome. So I think you've already previously mentioned this, but what type of audience is the program geared for?
We chose as a delivery platform a public Facebook group because it seemed to us that that's a good place to be able to not only post materials, but it's also a place to try to get conversation going. Mm-hmm. And we're really hoping to see conversation happening between the people who are participating so that this can become a community of encouragement and support and creativity around resilience. We predicted that most of the participants in the Facebook group would probably be parents, and many of them would be moms. And so they would become, in a way, the air traffic controllers for their family. And so we produce materials each week that are tailored for parents themselves, as well as for children, youth, young adults, older adults, and also community service.
Okay.
So that people can pick and choose what's relevant for their family. We also produce materials each week related to wellness as well as materials for folks who would like to read a little more, who'd like to dig in a little deeper to the topic that week and read some research about it, or maybe take a class, or, you know, go on when we're through this immediate crisis to spend a little more time working on these issues.
That's great. So it's definitely a space for multiple amounts of individuals and families, and meeting many different needs. And as you know, our listeners are military family service professionals. They're individuals who assist service members and their families as they build resilience and navigate life cycle transitions, just as your program is doing, building that resilience. So I wonder, in what ways might the Families Tackling Tough Times Together program be used by these helping professionals as a resource for sharing with service members and their families?
That's a really great question. We felt that the reason that it made sense to create something like this, because normally this is not a way to do great science, right? When you've got no time to do a big literature review and have lots of debate and spend an enormous amount of time planning, you know, why did it make sense to sort of hurry up and do something like this so quickly? And did we think we could do a good job? Our ultimate decision was driven by the idea that this is probably not the moment that a lot of parents are going to sign up for multi-week kinds of programs. Mm-hmm. And many of the programs that exist already have that kind of structure where you're meeting face-to-face or you're doing a series of online sorts of things. Of course, the military has home visiting programs, and some of those aren't going to happen the same way. And in a crisis, there's often, I think, a phase where there's kind of crisis intervention and psychological first aid and those sorts of very initial reactions. And then there is a longer term phase where people might be in therapy or education programs or long-term recovery sorts of things. It struck us that there's kind of a gap in the middle, that's sort of a stopgap that could go on for several weeks. Mm-hmm. And I also am so aware that it's so common for organizations to put together long lists of websites for families. And the problem with those is that then it creates a whole nother research task. Yeah. Because people have to go through all those websites, decide what they like, try to decide what's credible. And we're in a situation now where we might have six people in a household sharing a computer.
Yes.
Or limited bandwidth or other things. And so our thought was, if we could quickly curate, I use that word curate rather than create, materials that are kind of vetted, that are associated with a theme tied to resilience, that are informed by evidence, and that are designed to be used very flexibly in any order, at any level, at any time. At a minimum, it helps families build on their skills while they go through the activities of daily life, coping with the things they have to cope with already. Now, for helping professionals, I think this might be able to be useful in two ways. One, it might give folks ideas about things that they could suggest to families or use with families they're working with that are tailored to what they want to do. I think another way they could be very helpful is in kind of engaging the community of families that they work with to use the site and maybe even using it with them. So becoming a group, kind of engaging in the conversation. And it's possible within Facebook groups to create subgroups, for example. So families at an installation or families in a branch of service could create a subgroup if they want and have a conversation there. The most important thing that we're trying to do is focus each week on a particular resilience theme so that people can learn about what that aspect of resilience is, learn about skills that will help to grow that aspect of resilience, and then be provided with some activities that they can do that will allow them to practice that skill and hopefully get better at it. So if they use these materials each week, some of them, try out a few things, by the end of the 10-week period during which we're releasing new materials, they'll know more about resilience than they knew before. And hopefully they'll be better prepared to show resilience than they were before. And if in the meantime, we can suggest some activities that might make it easier to manage kids, to have fun times together as a family, to develop some new habits and traditions that might be good going forward, that's good for families, but hopefully it's also helpful to helping professionals.
Definitely. All those strategies are super helpful. I wonder if you could share a little bit about what those topics might be covered for ResilienceWise. And then alongside of that, what do some of those weekly engagement activities kind of look like?
Sure. So because we had to design this so fast and implement so fast, we didn't, troll through the literature to find absolutely, you know, the combination of all of the best things. Mm-hmm. I went straight to what I think is widely regarded as one of the best known and best conceived frameworks for family resilience in the world, which is the perspective developed by Froma Walsh. Mm-hmm. And she was actually one of the first people that I called to see if she'd be willing to support this effort. And she was very enthusiastic. The other thing that was that's very appealing about her framework is that she organizes her thinking about family resilience into three domains. And each of those domains has three components. So 3 by 3, we get 9 weeks. and so that made it possible to modularize this effort. Mm. And we are literally building it 1 week at a time. So my next meeting today is to work on the kit that we'll release on Sunday.
Okay.
So we're literally building the plane as we fly it. The things that she suggests, I think, are great for all families, whether they're encountering stress or not. So the three key domains are shared beliefs, communication, and family organization. And what's really important about family resilience is that it's not just about having each person in the family be resilient as an individual. It's about those perspectives being shared. Mm-hmm. So beliefs, for example, or being optimistic, that's helpful for individuals and their own resilience. But what's really powerful in families and is when family members share a perspective of optimism about their future and together can find the positives in the midst of crisis. Mm-hmm. And so, as I mentioned, each of those domains has subcomponents. And so each week deals with a particular component of a particular domain. Last week, we focused on collaborative problem solving. Mm-hmm. And that word collaborative, of course, is quite important because it means how families work together mm-hmm. to solve problems. And that requires both parents and kids mm-hmm. to work together. And I know you're going to post a slide deck that goes along with our conversation. And I put in there an example from a parent of a great problem solving collaboration that she did with a group member did with a 4-year-old child. And it was such a great, I love the example because it was one of those situations as a parent that could have really easily ended in a exasperated parent, a crying child, and kind of a miserable afternoon. And instead, it turned into a huge success experience for a 4-year-old boy and a treasured memory for a mom. And those are exactly the kinds of things that that we're trying to just help families develop. It's not magic, and it's not out of the ordinary. It's very important to us to not give families extra work to do. We're not mm-hmm. trying to create more school for parents in the middle of this. What we're saying is you have to do this anyway. You have to cook meals anyway, or you have to manage conflict between the kids in your house anyway, or you have to deal with stress and anxiety anyway. Here are some things to keep in mind that might help you. Another example is one of our first weeks was about positive outlook. And there we focused on gratitude and intentional gratitude journaling mm-hmm. and paying attention to positive things. Mm-hmm. Because when the world around us is in crisis, it's easy to pay attention only to the negatives when there are actually always also positives. If you're alive and you're breathing and you're safe, that's a positive. Mm-hmm. You know, some days, you know, they delivered groceries. That's a big positive. I washed my hair today. That could be a big positive. But But people who are resilient tend to be quite good at paying attention to both the positives without ignoring the negatives. Sure. And so those are examples, simple examples of some of the things that we focus on.
Those are really unique examples. And I actually just joined the group before we did this call. So I'm excited to learn some more as myself as a military family. And I'm excited to share this with the professionals. I think that it's really going to be very powerful. Can you please remind us how folks can access the Families Tackling Tough Times Together program?
Absolutely. So as I said, we're offering it through a public Facebook group. Anybody can join. I think there is something where we have to just check a box when you say you want to join, but you don't have to do anything. It just takes a few hours till, you know, we log on that day and approve everything. That's really all it takes. Eventually we will have a website and we'll post all of the materials at the website as well. We do encourage people to opt in. We have an analytics program underneath the site so we can sort of track posts and stuff, but that's optional. People don't have to do it. It's nice if they do. And then they're good to go. Every Saturday, we announce the theme for the week, but at the top of the group, you'll see each of the themes that we've done before, and you can just click on that tag, and it'll take you to those materials. So you can use any materials in any week. It's not designed to be sequential, where you have to do something earlier before you can do something later. Mm-hmm. And there are some things that you could do them all the time. Like once you start doing it, then it can just become part of something that you do all the time if you want. Completely up to you. We post the materials on Sundays. On Saturday, we post a video where I interview Froma about what the theme for the week is. So we announce the theme, and if people want to learn more about it, they can listen to a brief interview with her. And the next day, we post materials, and we post them as one PDF document. So you can just print it out if you want and have it in your house. And we also post each component separately. So the part that pertains to children, the part that pertains to young adults. And so you could forward those on to other people in your family, if you like, based on, you know, their age group or their interests. Then through the week, we will remind people about some of the ideas in the kits. We'll post, we call them bonus features. So a book list, if you'd like to read more about these things, or if you'd like to read about research, sometimes we'll post TED Talks. We're working on having some Ask the Expert panels. I'm also really excited by our colleague, Steve Wilson, who's at the University of South Florida. Steve is a military parent. He's very interested in the military-civilian divide and has been writing a blog about it. He and I have talked many times over the years about how real is that divide and what does it really mean and what is it about. And so he's doing a video series for the group where he interviews military and civilian families who have been through tough times about what they learned. And then we take clips from those interviews that pertain to the theme of the week and post clips so that people can hear real families, military and civilian, talking about the insights that they have gained by going through tough times themselves. And we're hoping that's helpful to people on the group. So I'm really excited about that.
That's really cool. Thank you for sharing that. Are there any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, I really appreciate the time that you've taken today to spend time with me. And I have been very impressed with how hard lots of people are working to try to support the families that they care for and the passion that so many people have for helping others. I think that's part of our own resilience that comes to the fore in times of crisis. I also know that there are serious things going on in families during this time, and that families have very serious concerns about their financial well-being, and people are dealing with anxiety. In some families, conflicts can be quite serious. I don't want to gloss over those things. So I hope that the work that we are doing can be useful to everyone in their audience as they reach out directly to families, and that these things can be used to try to support them in this time with ideas that are specifically tailored for people who are in these circumstances where mm-hmm. they may not have a lot of access to resources. They may not be able to go out and get things or buy things. And I hope that if people do use it, they'll let us know so that we can do better, and let us know if there are things that we can add or build in or that they would like to add. We welcome their thoughts and participation.
Great. Yeah, that's great. Like you've kind of said, this program is really built from everyone contributing and being able to share. And I can definitely see that just from what you've been talking about. So thank you for sharing about the program today.
I was very happy to do it. Thank you very much for your interest.
From all of us at the Military Families Learning Network Family Transitions team, we thank you, Shelley, for taking time to chat with us today. For those listening today, thank you for joining us. I encourage you to refer to the resources mentioned in this podcast on our webpage under the list entitled Additional Materials. This will also include the PowerPoint slide deck prepared by Shelley regarding the Families Tackling Tough Times Together program. You can also join the program's Facebook group by clicking on the link provided or by searching Families Tackling Tough Times Together group in your Facebook search bar. We encourage our listeners to check out other podcasts, blogs, and free webinars from our Military Families Learning Network Family Transitions website at militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org/family-transitions.
This production of the Military Families Learning Network Family Transitions team is based upon work supported by the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Office of Military Family Readiness Policy, U.S. Department of Defense, under award numbers 2015-48770-24368 and 2019-48770-30366.